Hey, it's Dan Bova from Entrepreneur Media, and welcome to How Success Happens, the show where I talk to awesome people who do awesome things and ask the simple question, how on earth did you do that? Ready to get informed and inspired? I am too, so let's get to it. How Success Happens starts now. Hey everyone, today's guest is a best-selling thriller writer who has been called the Queen of Twists. So who knows where the hell this conversation is going? I could end up murdered. Who knows? Maybe I'm the murderer. Her novel, The Perfect Marriage, was a multi-million seller, and her new book, The Perfect Divorce, just hit number one on the New York Times bestseller list. A hearty congratulations and a big welcome to Geneva Rose. How are you?
I am great. Thank you.
Congrats on number one. How does that feel?
It feels surreal. My brain hasn't caught up because I found out right before I had to go to an event in Maryland. Then I flew here and I haven't played catch up yet.
You know, being a writer, particularly getting started in writing, isn't the easiest and most predictable world. There's a lot of things to accomplish on your way to getting to where you are. But I wanted to ask, besides number one on the bestseller list, that's a pretty big sign of success, but how do you personally define success?
I defined success. It used to be the accolades of having the bestseller status, selling millions of copies, the big advances. But I think my definition of success changed about a year and a half ago. And it was when I was facing severe burnout and I just didn't have the right team around me. And so when I basically hit my breaking point, I knew I needed to make a change in order to continue this career. I kind of changed up the whole team around me. And now I define success as being able to breathe, being able to have other people in the room speak on my behalf, being able to take a day off without feeling guilty that I should be doing something to progress my career. That's what success is just being able to take a step back and having that opportunity and ability to do so.
So when you say you were burnt out, were you just handling like every aspect of your career? What led to that?
It was definitely handling every aspect of it, of not having people that could speak on my behalf, of being involved in everything from like the marketing to the cover concept to the editorial to every piece of it. Plus, I do a lot outside of writing my books, do all the social media and a lot of the marketing. And I think that plus I was dealing with some health issues. I had two herniated discs in my neck. So it was just I was saying yes to everything and doing everything. And I realized saying no was actually the best thing for me and learning to say no.
Was there a moment where that kind of crystallized in your head, like, I need a change? Was there the straw that broke the camel's back or was it your neck?
It was probably my last tour. I had a fully sold out tour, meeting hundreds and hundreds of people every night. And then I would just be so down and out when I got back to my hotel room. And I just realized I was like, I can't carry on like this. I need to make a change and I can't keep doing everything because if I do, eventually I'm not going to be able to do anything.
It's amazing that you're able to recognize that and put a plan into motion to fix it. You know, writing follow-up to a book that, as you said, sold millions and millions of copies. As you get success, I guess this is my question. Are you keenly aware as you're typing, like, oh my God, millions of people are going to read the sentence that I just typed out?
I think it's the same thing when I like create my videos for social media or I write my books. I like forget other people are going to read it or forget other people are going to see it. I write my books for me. I write what I want to read. And same thing with like my content. If I find it interesting or funny or anything and I like it. So I kind of forget it. When people quote my books, I'll be like, oh, did I write that? Oh, dang.
That's cool. Now, is that something you've learned or has that been your approach the whole time? I'm going to do what I like and hopefully other people like it too.
I think because when I started writing, I wrote for myself. And the first book I ever wrote was literally for myself. I was not trying to get published. It was to work through the grief of losing my mother. The second book was The Perfect Marriage that I wrote. That was the book I was like, okay, this could be something. And I want to write what I like to read. So I think from the very beginning, it was always, I'm just going to write for me and we'll see where this goes.
And what were you doing before you became a writer?
I was a global senior social media manager at Kimberly-Clark. So I actually wrote my first 4 or 5 books while working full time.
Did you have a set schedule or were you just writing whenever you had a free moment?
The job was basically 8 to 4:30 or 8 to 5. So I wrote nights and weekends, mainly weekends. And I would do like these big writing sessions where I'm up early, but I start writing at 10 a.m. and I'm writing till like 9 p.m. at night. I've always been like, I'm like a binge writer and I continue to do that even though I've been a full-time author since March of 2021. I feel like if I'm binge writing it, that makes it bingeable for a reader. So far, that's true, but that's just probably my own thing that I just make up to get through it faster.
So just to talk a little bit on your writing process. So are you outlining first or are you just sitting down and just pouring it out as the ideas come into your head? How do you approach it?
I will not start writing a book until I can summarize it in a sentence or two. So it has that very commercial hook. From there, because I come from marketing, I really enjoy writing the back marketing copy. So that's like the second piece I write before I start the story.
Yeah.
I'll do like my character sketches, my setting sketches. So I know everything about my characters and my setting. That's all my research. I really feel like I know them. And I do a little bit of an outline. Like I will outline part of the book, but not ever the entire book because I want the story to be able to change and the characters to breathe and not to be kind of just stuck with this outline. So sometimes I surprise myself. I usually know like the big twist, but like any of the other small twists and reveals that come throughout, those are usually surprises that I did not intend to write. They came out during a writing sprint.
I'm purposely not asking you about the plots at all because I just started reading The Perfect Marriage. So I don't want to know anything.
All right.
So when you were just starting out on this path, besides what you talked about with surrounding yourself with people who could really lift you up, is there anything you wish like, oh man, I wish I knew that when I was just starting out?
I think there's a lot that I wish I knew that, you know, it's a marathon. It's not a sprint. My first book did do very well. Obviously, that's my big breakout book. But that book published with a very small publisher out of the UK, digital first, print on demand. It was never supposed to be in stores. And I think when all of publishing said no to that book, which is The Perfect Marriage, I kind of thought like, okay, that book's just not going to happen. But then I went a different route and I got a publisher that would accept unagented submissions. And even that was a huge risk because if it didn't sell well, now publishers would be looking at my sales record versus just that new shiny manuscript. So I think I was so dead set on getting like a traditional book deal, but there was another way to go about it. And I'm proof of that. And I also think things like switching agents, that was something that I did not realize is very normal in this industry. I decided to part ways with my first agent. I felt like, oh my gosh, there's something wrong with me until I spoke to other authors. And it's like, no, that's very normal. Sometimes it's just not the right working relationship. And sometimes someone outgrows someone or it's just you realize you need something different and it is a business. A lot of the things of like realizing that at the end of the day, it is a business and these are business decisions that have to be made across the board to really protect yourself in this industry and your own like mental health while you go about it. Because it is such a different career, very weird career to be in.
Are you writing these books with the blinders on? Is it just you in a room? Are you bouncing ideas off of people as they come to you? What's your take on that?
My husband, he reads all of my stuff as I'm writing it. So like, when I finish a chapter, I'll be like, what do you think? He usually tells me it's great because he knows that's his job at the time. Not ready for critiques. So otherwise, I usually bounce ideas off him. And then my agent, I will ask them what they think of it in terms of just in the market of an idea I have. And that's kind of how it is. But it's usually it's just me. And I don't like to show anyone else my work until I'm finished, aside from my husband.
Right. So with your start in marketing, did you go into marketing because it was something that you felt could scratch a creative itch? Or after you were in marketing for a while, did the idea of become a writer blossom from that?
I've always loved to write and I didn't think I'd ever have a career. I never thought I'd be able to have a career that I could survive off of just writing. So when I went to school for communications and I did that, so it could be very broad as to what I could do after school. And I did a lot of freelance writing. anything from like radio, TV commercial scripts to writing product descriptions. I did copy editing. And then I started into social media marketing, email marketing, and digital marketing. And I liked it because I could still be very creative.
Yeah.
So not as much as I would like to, which is why I actually think I started writing books outside of work, because it was not itching that creativeness that I needed to do within the job.
Right.
Because so much of my stuff would get rejected. It's like, we can't do that. This is corporate.
Yeah. You know, rejection, you talked about, you know, sending it out and people rejecting you. How have you learned to deal with rejection? Does it fire you up? Does it make you angry and make you try even harder? Was it something that you had to learn to say, hey, just wasn't their taste, maybe it's somebody else's?
Well, not to brag, I've had over 400 rejections in my career. So as an author. But from the very beginning, I knew not to take it personally. I knew this was a creative career and rejection was inevitable. So I treated every no as a not right now or a noble attempt. And even though I've had all those rejections, I've had agents and editors that have rejected me and then later wanted to represent me or purchase my book. I never took it as like, oh no, I'm going to be spiteful, because I think everything happens for a reason.
Yeah.
If it would have happened a different way, I wouldn't have the career I have right now.
Yeah.
Maybe even the books I've written, maybe they would be different, or I wouldn't have as many under my belt. If I didn't have to work so hard and it took so long to kind of make all this happen. I think it's just, it's inevitable. And it's a part of any creative career.
Can you talk, I mean, you're obviously a marketing expert and you've built this incredible following. And as you just described, you're on tour, you're meeting with people who love your books. Can you talk a little bit about that, how you built that up? Because, you know, obviously a lot of people are writing books, they're self-publishing books, and it's such an accomplishment to have this book in your hand, but it's like, now what? How do I get someone to even know this thing exists?
Well, I knew from the beginning, because I published with a very small publisher and there was no marketing budget, that I was going to be the one that had to market it. So I got on, you know, Instagram and Facebook. Then I saw TikTok. And at the time, it was considered like an app for teens dancing.
Yeah.
But I had been a scroll around there. And I was like, no, there's other things on here. People are like clamoring for community. They want to share their likes and dislikes. So I started marketing my book on there. And one of my first videos got like 5 million views and ended up shooting The Perfect Marriage up to number 3 on Amazon.
Wow.
And started growing an audience from that and a readership. But I knew that I did not want to just keep marketing my videos. I wanted to be able to actually connect with my readers, share parts of my life, my husband, my dogs, behind the scenes, my humor and my personality. So I really prioritize being able to share me and myself, not just here's a book. So I really made sure that it wasn't just transactional. It was more of like creating a community between me and my readers.
You just said that the video got 5 million views. So obviously you came out pretty hot out of the gate, but is there something about that video that you, any takeaways from it that you would say, hey, I think this is why it connected with so many people?
Well, for that one, it created a book talk trend, and I had pretended that I was the protagonist in my book, but it was my real story. I held up my book and said, actually, this is the plot of this novel.
Cool.
Yeah. And so I think it just hooked people. It was like, there wasn't a long or a couple of paragraphs to explain what the book is. It was a 30-second video, and they wanted to know more about the book. Obviously, that doesn't really work anymore, because then other authors did it, publishers even did it, readers did it about their favorite books. So it got very saturated and people caught on like, oh, you're about to tell me about a book, aren't you?
Yeah.
So I continue to like do different things when I do have to share my books. So it's very natural, very organic. It's not salesy. It's just I'm trying to be as natural as possible when I'm on camera.
Are you spending a lot of time thinking about what these videos are going to be? Or are they more off the cuff?
They are completely off the cuff. It's usually like, oh, Geneva, can you share a cover reveal? And then I do a green screen. And it's like, this is my new cover. This is what it's about. Very basic, but it's my sense of humor and my personality. And I think that's why it works.
Is there a writer, or it doesn't even have to be a writer, but is there someone whose career you kind of look to as like, hey, I think they're doing it right. And, you know, hopefully I'm on a trajectory like them.
And I can look to authors that are able to do different genres too, because I've written in different genres. So like Stephen King, he's done multiple genres. Colleen Hoover, she's done the romance, she's done young adult, she's done horror. So I looked at like those in terms of not being set within one genre and being able to write what you want to write. And I don't know if there's anyone that's like doing like the social media like I do. There's ones that they do really well on social media because their readers do the social media for them in terms of they love the book, like an Emily Henry, where she just kind of comes out and here's my new book. And then she gets to go away for a while.
Right, right. Are there any books along the way that really kind of like, wow, one day maybe I could write something like this? Anything you would recommend?
I mean, I've loved to write since I was a kid. My mom loved to write too. I actually used to leave my short stories and chapters of books I was writing on the table at night because she worked second shift. And then when I would wake up for school the next morning, there would be notes in the margin saying how great it was. But I think what led me to thrillers was elementary school. I loved Bailey School Kids, which was like mysteries. And then in middle school, I loved Lois Duncan, which was thrillers like Killing Mr. Griffin and I Know What You Did Last Summer. Continuing to read mysteries and thrillers from a young age. And that was actually the genre my mom liked to read too.
And from where you are now, can you just enjoy a book these days or does it feel like work?
I can. It's really difficult because then I do pick out things where I'm like, oh, that was a really clever way to like introduce a piece of backstory or bring on a new character or, you know, plant a red herring. And I do find myself learning from the books that I read. But I do try to enjoy them as much as possible. I just kind of have to like shut my writer part of my brain off.
What's your favorite way to turn your brain off?
Going for a walk with my dogs, usually yelling at Phyllis, telling her not to chew on sticks or leaves or whatnot. So my brain is off. And it's only focused on my 10-month-old English bulldog.
Nice. Because
she gets into everything. And my brain's off just on Phyllis.
Does Phyllis go on tour with you?
No, everyone keeps asking, like, why isn't Phyllis here? I was like, well, I don't think she would do well on planes. She's an English dog, and she would be just wild running all over the place. She would love it, though.
More than once, people have said, and this is just a recommendation to you, they watch the show Below Deck, which is a reality show that I've watched once or twice. And if you want to turn your brain completely off, that's a good way to do it.
You don't have to tell me. I was going to say I watch reality TV, but I was like, let me pick something nature-y. I love Below Deck, and I've been in hotel rooms for the last 2 weeks, and none of them have Peacock on the app.
Oh, no.
2 episodes behind on Below Deck, Down Under.
Oh, no.
So I've not been able to turn my brain off properly at night without it.
Okay. All right. Well, now we can move into the exciting speed round of this conversation. I'm going to ask you a couple of 5 quick questions, whatever's top of your head. So, spoilers. Do you cover your ears or bring them on?
Cover my ears.
I respect that. I hate spoilers. Why would you want something spoiled for you? It makes no sense to me. Does listening to an audiobook count as reading?
It does.
Thank you. You're affirming a lot of things for me, so this is fantastic.
Perfect.
Is there a book you wish you wrote? If you could go back in time, any book in recorded history.
I'm going to say, just because I love it, The Kind Worth Killing by Peter Swanson.
What was your first summer job?
I worked at Goodwill.
Oh.
Donation person, so I would turn away your donations or sort through them.
Find anything good in the pockets?
We did find like money and gold and stuff. And then we found things that should not have been donated. It was hard. I was 16. I was like, geez.
It was a twist. There you go. A twist ending. Well, Geneva, so how can people obviously your books in stores, online, everywhere, where can they follow you to kind of keep up with all things Geneva Rose?
My TikTok and my Instagram is Geneva Rose Author, and then I have a Facebook reader group called Geneva Rose's Convention of Readers, and that's where I am able to interact a lot more and respond to a lot more comments than I can on my Instagram and my TikTok. Things are shared.
And then I'll ask you, it's probably an annoying question because you just published this book, but are there more to come? Is there more in this series, do you think?
I do tease to more in this series, but it's not like in my slate right now, but I do have a speculative fiction novel coming out in July called The Girl I Was.
Oh, cool.
I have a post-apocalyptic zombie enemies to lovers romance called Dating After the End of the World coming out September 30th.
Well, I'm sure your fans are psyched, and then I hope you get to take a break. It sounds like a lot.
Yeah, two more events, and then I get to take a break.
All right, good. Well, thank you for squeezing us in, and thanks for these great books.
All right, thank you so much.
All right, that wraps up another episode of How Success Happens. Thanks so much for listening. If you can stand even more of me in your life, please subscribe to my Substack. This should be fun. I write about embarrassing things in my life that will make you feel much, much better about your life decisions. And hey, if you're feeling the show, drop us a review, would you? Those old ones are for the other guy, and it'd be cool to get some love for the shiny new host. That's me. And if you are digging this sweet, sweet theme song, please check out more music from Nika RPM over on Bandcamp. And hey, do you have a comment, a success tip, or a question for one of our guests? Send it in to our bright and shiny new email address, howsuccesshappens@entrepreneur.com. You send it in, I will read it on the air. And that's the Dan Bova promise. Catch you next time.